Hello, everybody. I am William Del Pilar, and this is The Red, White, and Rude, where I bring you the pleasure of talking about the intersectionality of culture and politics. Today, we are going to be roasting the bigot we call Dave Foley. We're going to talk about Wikipedia's court loss, which is deserved, but I do have mixed feelings about it. And there's also Disney being woke for so long, they've forgotten what made their brand popular, and they now realize they need boys to watch their shows. Then we'll get into the Rude Rundown, where I talk MSNBC, Apple TV, Paramount, and Skydance, Snoop Dogg versus Disney, Macron and Honor, and the cold-blooded murderers, the Menendez brothers. So make sure you give this podcast a thumbs up as you watch it, please. I truly appreciate that. And bookmark grumblingsmedia.com. You can find my podcast and all others over there, as well as our new swag, which I will show a couple of the pieces that we have as the show unfolds. You can also follow us on YouTube, Rumble, Apple, Spotify, under the handle Grumblings Media. And with that out of the way, let's get rude. First off, Dave Foley accuses MAGA supporters of embracing fascism. He did this in the podcast rant. He unleashed a heated rant on a CNN-sponsored podcast accusing MAGA supporters of being a hateful subbreed, embracing fascism, while voicing fears for his family's safety under potential Trump deportation policies and blaming Reagan-era initiatives for America's alleged slide into authoritarianism. So first off, Dave Foley is Canadian. Let us get that out of the way, first and foremost. He was on a podcast with Michael Ian Black, another hardcore bigot. And they were expressing their fear. I love mocking liberals that way. They were expressing fear. They're lying. They had no fear over Donald Trump's mass deportation, but that's what they were expressing. They don't fear his policies. They just don't like the man. They had to decent. What they're trying to do is scare you. And they talked about how America is descending into fascism. Again, we are subbreeds. You know, I'm not going to go there. But we are subbreeds of Americans who hate whoever they're told to hate. That's actually not true. That's not true. The left told us for years and years who we're supposed to hate. Everything they've said about Trump turns out to not be true. Dave Foley is the duck with the C here. And that we're told to support fascism, and we do all this to distract from the real issues. And he compares Trump's deportation plans to sending people back to 1939 Germany, which is ironic. Which party has taken away our free speech? The Democrat Party. Which party went to private businesses and threatened them or threatened to go after them if they didn't censor their enemies' content? It was the Democrat Party. Which party called God-fearing Americans domestic terrorists because they didn't want the schools to control whether kids were being taught? Democrats. Everything that Dave Foley talks about is what he represents. Is it any wonder his two wives have left him? More on that in a second. Yeah, oh, more on that right now. He voiced personal concerns for his Mexican-American ex-wife, Latina daughter, and in-laws, claiming citizens with brown skin face savage beatings by mass thugs and unlawful deportations without evidence. Vete al carajo, estúpido idiota blanquito. So, I'm not going to show the picture. I looked up his ex-wife. They're Latinos like me, baby. You see, I do have a grandmother, rest in peace, abuelita, who was seen as Afro-Caribbean. I've got a mother who's seen as a Korean-Asian-looking woman. I've got your typical brown caramel-skinned cousins. I've seen one of my cousins self-deport because he screwed up and it broke all our hearts. Dave Smith's ex and his daughter, they look as white can be. But you see, because he's on a podcast, because he loves to live the lie, he fears for them. He fears for them. Estúpido idiota. Oh, man. Again, this man is just an idiot. I mean, he's been divorced twice. Can't even hold on to a woman. Maybe focus on yourself, Dave, versus hating on those who support a man in Donald Trump whose policies are actually making America great again. And guess what, Dave? He's made it better for blacks who love him. Blacks are shifting over to Donald Trump like there's no tomorrow. Latinos también, my brethren too. You know how many times people who are Latino tell me, damn, William, or actually my friends, damn, Willie, you're right. You're right. But see, Dave Foley is just this bigot caught up in this leftist world, this leftist bubble. I mean, you look at him, he just epitomizes a pajama boy, a duck with a C. And he went as far back as blaming Ronald Reagan's 1980s policies for starting a 30-year project. Now, he was a little boy there. He was in Canada. Maybe he doesn't remember the long gas lines brought upon us by Jimmy Carter. Maybe he doesn't remember the, 60-some-odd American hostages taken by Jimmy Carter. Maybe he doesn't remember the 70% tax rates that middle class and the slightly above middle class were forced to pay while the rich elites had their own tax accountants to get out of it. And what happened? Ronald Reagan brought down the tax rate. And it was still high. And boom, the economy jump started. He's an idiot. But he blames Reagan for a 30-year project that undermined faith in government. Faith in government! Government! Dave Foley and government! Who is more 1939 Germany right now? That's Dave Foley. Limited government. I don't have faith in government. We're $37 trillion in debt because too many people have faith in government. We're taxed to the yin-yang. And then he said it undermines science. We've had some of the greatest scientific advancements, these United States of America. And rationality, creating uneducated populace. That is the Department of Education. You're so stupid, Dave. And who keeps our population uneducated? The teachers union, which are nothing but Democrat plantation overseers. They're the ones keeping brown, black, and white. There are tons of uneducated white people out there. He says all of this makes us prime for fascist efficiency that even Hitler would admire. Dave, look in the damn mirror. You bigot. Dave's one of these closet racists that projects all his hate, all his anger. I mean, he loves Canada. God bless, that's where he's from. But look at what Canada's doing. Going into people's bank accounts, locking it up, forcing the jab. He asserted current U.S. events represent an accelerated progression toward fascism driven by anger and distraction rather than border security. Dave, I just realized Dave must be part of that group that's uneducated. Look, Dave Foley's out here slinging personal attacks at Trump supporters, at myself, calling us bigots when he should be looking in the mirror. By his own size logic. He's beyond a bigot. He's got the gene, the white supremacy gene. Dave Foley, natural born white supremacist. It's sad seeing him lean into that white stereotype because that's what he's doing. And of course, I'm being sarcastic. But by his own rules, he is the worst of the lot. Man, but seriously, the guy's Canadian. This country's straight up failing its people right now. I think it's Quebec that wants us to secede from the Union. Canada was skyrocketing crime like rape and murder. See, that's what Trump's trying to do. Not, there hasn't been a murder in D.C. yet this week, Everybody's right. How bad was it in D.C. that that's become top news? You look at all the polls out there, Dave, and you go, yeah, 80% of these people don't like what Trump's doing. That's true when it's white elitist bigots like you being involved in the polls. But you go to those districts, those neighborhoods in D.C., and the people there, thank God. Go online, look at the videos. All the black and brown. Hell, all the whites leaving the Capitol, walking in their cars. This is like the 1980s with at the end of Giuliani, I think, and little guy, little rich billionaire guy, Bloomberg. You know, the stop and frisk. When you went into those actual neighborhoods, they loved it. They're like, oh, hell yeah. I can walk down the street now. Young thugs aren't going to sit there and attack me. Oh, William, how dare you say young thugs? So they call every young punk. I don't care if they're white, black, yellow, green, red, whatever. Young thugs. They were happy. But you never saw the polling just focus on those districts. Why? Because they knew what that would happen. Look, I learned how to poll. I self-taught myself statistics for my business because I couldn't afford the cost of the how much it costs to get polling, surveys, and things done properly. I know how it works. I know how it works. Well, speaking of Canada, or going back to Canada, though, you have an erosion of Native Canadian communities amid unchecked immigration. That we're bad. They're even worse in certain ways. And you got in a government that's authoritarian as it gets. Again. He's big, Dave, but not big where it counts. We're big in the belly. I mean, that guy was looking so nasty one day. I felt so bad. It looked like he could take a scalpel and boom, it all bust out. Kind of felt bad for him. Because I actually like Dave Foley, the actor. I do. I thought he was great. And I can't remember what series it was. Maybe it's a canceled series. I mean, just it ran its course. He played a detective. Gosh, I can't remember what it was. But anyway, very enjoyable. Love them in news radio. Don't care for the man himself, though. He's pissed that we're pushing back against elitists, his friends, his donors, his masters, the people in Hollywood, that is. He's pissed that we're pushing back against top-down control. He seems to love, because that's what he's shoving down our throats. I mean, Reagan sat there and didn't want us to love our government. He views that as bad. That says something. It also says something about a man willing to lie about his ex. My brand family. You know, fan, your wife and daughter as white can be in terms of their complexion. They ain't never going to have to deal with it. Just like me. I've had a relative tell me, well, you don't have to go. We go through, cousin. And I've had other relatives say, hey, you have a responsibility to make sure you don't forget who we are. And I'm like, yeah, I get it both ways because I'm a realist. I understand. And my answer to them is equality is what I will always fight for, not equity. Like fat man, dude, get on some Ozempic. Yeah, so what if it gives you kidney problems? So what if it makes you die 10 years down the road? Your fat ass needs it. Oh, man. And then Dave comparing the U.S., the most generous nation history's ever seen, to 1939 Germany. Bro, look in the mirror. Is that it? Canada's closer to that than we ever were or will be. And it's also a slap in the face to real Holocaust victims. Everybody, all the leftists always love to compare everybody to Germany. 6 million Jews died. 6 million human beings died. But it's kind of funny because Dave and his belief system, he's the one who kind of fits that 1939 Germany era. And Reagan, the man pushed school choice, economic smarts, and rebuilding civic pride. Foley's just bitter. We can think independently. And he hates that. He hates that. If he's really worried about his family's safety, he should be championing law and order. And he's not. The actual danger to brown Americans ain't MAGA. It's the border mess letting in cartel violence. And those progressive-run cities where defunding the police has left everyone hanging. Calling us efficient, fascist, Hitler would envy? That's not funny. It's spineless, fear-mongering, dressed as caring. If he despises his place as much as he does, maybe skip cashing those American checks and head on back to Canada.
Canada's like the ugly stepchild.
All right, my friends.
So let me show you.
This is our mug. We got swag. I'm sporting the 15-ounce GM mug. I gotta fix this. Flip it around. You can use your QR code to head on over there to our store, or just go to grumbliesmedia.com. As I said, make sure you bookmark it. But that's one of our new swag we got over there. And I love it. I think it's a cool design. I remember my partner and I, we worked on that design, not us, but with the individual who helped create it. All right, let's move on. Wikipedia's legal bid against UK's Online Safety Act. The UK's High Court dismissed Wikipedia's challenge to the Online Safety Act, potentially forcing the platform to implement user identity verification by 2027. Now, the reason I'm bringing this up, despite the fact it happened in the UK, this is good news. So the UK's higher court dismissed Wikipedia's challenge to the Online Safety Act as they were seeking an exemption. So there's an act, there's requirements, and they were arguing that Wikipedia's nonprofit collaborative model sets it apart from other social media giants. Hogwash! By the letter of the law, so what? It does not. In reality, yeah, Wikipedia is done differently, but the concept's still the same with anonymity. And Wikipedia's been so abusive, especially towards conservatives. I want to know who's out there lying. That way we can sue them. If we know who they are, they can get in trouble for lying. And that's what we want. We want the chance to have our day in court. I'm trying to get rid of this. Here we go. Now, the Online Safety Act targets sites with over 7 million monthly active users and sites that algorithmically curate content, which applies in Wikipedia despite its lack of safety threats. Heck, my previous company would have fallen under that. So volunteer contributors, there's this one guy named a 20-year veteran. Probably still living in the basement of his mama. He says he may cease editing or he may have to use fake identities. They're going to get in more trouble if they come across fake identities and get busted. But he may use fake identities for anonymity concerns. And they say that's risky and reduced content quality. It's the exact opposite. If we know who it is and there's ramifications for lying as they do, you're going to get better quality content. You're going to get truthful content. Now, Wikipedia's lying here. They say the compliance cost poses a heavy burden for Wikipedia. They had $185 million in profit, or not profits, $185 million in mostly from donations last year. Now, they compare themselves to YouTube, 36 million, completely different models, different entities. So they're trying to go, whoa, it's me. I got to protect my leftist kids who call everybody Hitler, who support Dave Foley. We're all fascist. That's what Wikipedia is really saying. Now, the ruling does say, yeah, Wikipedia, we get what you're saying. But so what? You get no exemption. Now, they're considering an appeal. I think we need to just remove Section 230 here. Or not remove it, but we need to tweak it. Once we do that, Wikipedia is done. They are done tomorrow. They will literally go out of business because they'll have so many lawsuits. Because they lie. They lie, and then they steal content. You know, Encyclopedia Britannica, all their crap's on Wikipedia. Now, what's the broader implications here? Well, that includes potential loss of internet diversity, they say. I don't believe that. They say national law strain global nonprofits more than big tech. You know, I can see that. I can see that to a degree. But you work around it and you work with them. That's why I have mixed feelings about this. You know, the UK is becoming notorious. The UK is becoming Nazi Germany. You have no free speech in the UK. I don't view the UK as our friends. I'll be honest, I don't. I view them if they were not our allies, if they were a third world, we would have been sanctioning them up the yin-yang for what they've been doing to their people. And that's what I loathe. We do nothing to them. We challenge them in no ways. They're the first country I would pull our troops from, say, you losers are on your own. Well, you want a trade deal with us? Here's what it's going to cost you. Yeah, we'll make it easier. You know, what Trump is doing to Brazil, he needs to do to the UK. But he won't. He won't, and we need to. Bunch of big brother fascists. That's the UK. I mean, Keir Starmer, him and Dave Foley are like brothers in arms, two ducks with a C. I would stake my soul their wives have been taken care of by real men on the side. I mean, that's how unmanly, that's how they're vajayjays, they are. Yeah, I'm going on a bit of a rant. I loathe those people because they are destroying lives. Well, Dave Foley, he's just an idiot. But Keir Starmer, he's destroying lives. All right, let's move on. Disney, Disney's desperate. They're trying to reattract alienated young male, the young male audience. So Disney, having alienated young male audiences for over a decade with woke retooling of franchises like Star Wars and Marvel, now they're desperately, please come back. They're seeking new projects to win them back. That's what they say. And maybe so. I mean, they had nothing but box office. The Fantastic Four started out hot. The Marvels, I mean, that started out low. So low, I can't even put it on the screen here. So Disney, after over a decade of content that skewed against the 13 to 28-year-old boy and men, are going to try to do something. But here's the reality. For 10 years, 15 years, all they prioritize is women and LGBTQ themes. They deconstructed franchises, including Star Wars, with Kathleen Kennedy just destroying that. I mean, I remember Finn watching the reboot, the first reboot by J.J. Abrams. I was like, this is nothing but Star Wars, done differently. And then obviously DEI, I'm thinking, okay, yeah, there's your next Jedi right there, the character Finn. And then I was stunned because it was Rey, the girl. And even Finn was pissed. And I liked his character, actually. But it was at the time when everything with the DEI was starting. But Finn was a strong character. I liked his premise, liked where it was going with him. Then Rey, I couldn't watch. And then what they did to Mark Hamill, just a mean, old, miserable, old human being. That was pretty bad. And Rey was indestructible. Nobody could beat her. She was sexless, charisma-free. And then they also introduced men-on-men elements. And then you had the insufferable girl bosses in Marvel. Look, we all love strong women, but they were shoving crap down our throats. Additional alienation actions included a woman shaming Indiana Jones for his traditional traits, the Force is Female campaign, and the Willow. Oh, I forgot about the Willow series. That's right, the Willow series. Rest in peace, Val Kilmer. They destroyed that so bad, I think they had less than 8 episodes, and they pulled it from the streaming service for tax write-offs. All that contributed to repeated franchise failure after failure after failure and cultural backlash. So the current strategy is aimed to reshape cultural the woke strategy was aimed to reshape culture toward feminine and queer norms while targeting children with gay sexualization themes, grooming. And it obviously resulted in significant box office flop after flop after flop, and literally the loss of the Gen Z male viewer, a whole generation. Now they say they're actively seeking projects from creators to re-engage young men. And they acknowledge the need to start trying despite owning iconic IPs. Look, you should have started with Fantastic Four, but you changed up the character. Look, Johnny Blaze, he loves the girls. None of that. Sue Storm was a very matriarchal woman, strong, but a mother. They made her an effeminazi. And Reed Richards, look, I just can't get past Pedro, I love dresses, Pascal. I just don't like the guy. Do not, I will never support anything. And why didn't Disney fire him when they fired Gina Carano? He was saying political stuff. Yeah, Gina got the last laugh on that. How Pedro gets so many gigs is beyond me. He's one of these guys who's going to come and go in a couple years. But, hey, God bless him. He managed to come in and just leap up a whole generation of movies. I mean, did y'all see Pedro Pascal in Gladiator 2? That's one of the worst movies I've seen that had some of the biggest hype. Oliver Stone said when asked if he liked it, he was polite. Empty calories. Meaning, yeah, watch it. Came and went. And I agree, best take. But anyway, Pascal was in the Fantastic Four, and I want to say The Mandalorian, but I'm not 100% sure. He's not getting everything right now. But anyway, they have proposed an 8-point plan to win back male with movies and shows that feature attractive women, male leads in grand adventures, no gay or political content, respect for biological roles, Steve McQueen style coolness. Kathleen Kennedy's contract is not being renewed. And they're halting purchases of disliked franchises. They're not moving forward with crap that people don't want. Now, I am skeptical that Disney will actually do this. I agree with some who view them as an evil and corrupt entity. They're more aligned with Rachel Ziegler and her hairy back than they are with the Disney of old. I'm poking fun at her. She had this, what she thought was a sexy shot. And the internet being the internet, they zoomed in and she had all the hair on her back, the fine hair. You know, it's just a part of her culture. What I'm saying is she's got I'm Latino. You can recognize that fine hair. It's not like blonde, like on American Women, it's just a little brown, more visible. Poor thing. Screw her. I wouldn't with a 10-foot pole. She's just an ugly, vile human being. Regardless, let me get back to this. I don't know if they will produce genuinely appealing content. I think, at least for the next couple of years, we're going to see anti-male, anti-American, and woke. We saw with Fantastic Four, which was supposed to be part of their new look, their new change. All right, para mi Latinos out there, ¿quién es más macho? Sabemos quién es macho. El presidente Trump. This is my favorite swag there. In fact, I haven't ordered one yet. I got to get it in there. But you can go over to grumbliesmedia.com or check out the store through the code there, the QR code. Let's keep moving here before I run out of time. Let's get into the rude rundown, my friends. MSNBC rebrands to MS Now amid Comcast spinoffs. So Comcast is spinning off MSNBC from NBC Universal into a new media company called Versant. And it's prompting a full rebrand of the network to My Source News Opinion World, MS Now. So this spinoff was announced back in November. And this last week, they kind of came out with a little bit more details. They were kind of forced to do this. NBC doesn't want anything of theirs to be aligned with MSNBC. MSNBC name came from a partnership MS had. It was Microsoft and NBC. And that was like 25, 30 years ago now. You know, and then they bought out Microsoft's portion of it. And they went full-blown leftist. I used to watch MSNBC back at the turn, right before the turn of the century, then for a few years afterwards, then they just went full-blown leftist. They went full-blown leftist after the boy Al Gore could not steal the election away with the Florida recount. Now, they say they're excited about this because it's a new separate identity, apart from the NBC family and Peacock logo. No, they were told, you're not going to be part of that. We don't want you to have any type of resemblance with that. So, they're being led by, doesn't matter who they're being led by, I guess. The bottom line is they're rebranding. They're going to go through a marketing campaign. And it's not just them. The Golf Channel USA Network is going to shift the USA Sports brand under Versant. But my point that I was going to say is Versant has no financials to build a news division. So I don't know how they're going to manage MSNBC. And I say that because it takes millions upon millions to actually do legit news. And even though CNN, ABC, CBS, and them, they haven't done legit news for years, they did have the finances. MS Now may not. I think they got a big fat check to Rachel Maddow. I mean, her and Chris Hayes, let's be real. They're peas in a pod. So I am looking forward to the cratering of MS Now. I'll be honest. I am, and I think it will happen. I guess my final take is this. They can slap on a new name like MS Now all they want, but they're still that ultra-left opinion machine pretending to be straight news. It's kind of like how USA Today got spun off from Gannett and they were debt-free back in 2015. Yet they kept bleeding cash. I wasn't part of that. I was an outsider. A company had been sold to them. My company, my fantasy sports company. And my fantasy sports company was one of the top three in the world at the time. We were a content company. And they got spun off. And I said, they're going to have to change their culture, how they spend money, how they generate money, and all that. And they didn't. They kept bleeding cash. And they never turned into a digital powerhouse. Never. And they had big plans. Now, I did tell them, I remember, well, not them directly, but some of the people there who I still kept in touch with, said, nah, y'all shouldn't be going into DFS. You need to focus on what you want. And that blew up. And they just made one wrong move after another. They took our subscriber base. Let's just put it this way. Lots of money, they said, they turned down by going free, thinking that we're going to get more traffic. We're already in the top 2,000. Well, at that point, probably the top 15,000 sites in 12,000, I want to say, at that point when we sold in the world in traffic. And maybe 8,000, I can't remember. We were racking up. So they made it all free. It got to the point Gannett had more pages they couldn't sell ads on than they had advertisers who wanted it. So it was just a nightmare. But my whole point, that's MS Now. They're clueless. They're clueless. My point, without ditching the bias, firing the egos, and going neutral with fresh talent and real free hybrid reporting, this thing's doomed. Especially with ratings taking hard in 2025 and ad dollars vanishing. Apple TV increases its subscription price amid ongoing billion-dollar losses. There's something I don't understand about streaming services. They're overpaying for what they pay the people and what the movies cost. These actors no longer are viable theatrical. Hey, we bring this actor in for this movie, it's going to be a hit. But they're still a big name and a big draw for a service, but they're overpaying. It's not just Apple, it's Netflix. So on August 21st, just last week, Apple announced another subscription price increase for Apple TV Plus from $9.99 to $12.99. Why they're losing in excess of $1 billion a year despite having 45 million subscribers. I'm one of those. And this came from CNBC per the information. New subscribers will pay the $12.99 rate immediately. Old subscribers can be affected 30 days. I'm canceling. This is the second price increase in recent years following the 2023 increase from $6.99 to $9.99. I had it at $6.99, got it free for a year based on my phone plan, and forgot to cancel. This one's simple. Apple just doesn't have enough content to keep folks hooked long term. Nobody's watching because there's just nothing there to go to. Very few shows. I mean, reading this article hit me like a reminder. I subscribed for Ted Lasso. Loved it through season two. Season three was too woke for me. But I did dig Shrinking. That's with Harrison Ford and Jason something, the guy from How I Met Your Mother. It's a great cast, great chemistry. I love that show. But I'm done with Ted Lasso despite the fact that they're going to do more of it. And Shrinking's only one I got into. Everything else is garbage to me. One or two shows ain't cutting it anymore, especially after Lasso wrapped up. They're jacking up the price, but that'll probably just push more people like me to cancel. Hell, I saw this and thought, damn, I got to drop this now. I keep forgetting. How many others are in the same boat as I am? Maybe they should ease up on splashing billions on big-name talent since it's clearly not paying off. And it's leaving them deep in the red. Who knows how many millions they're paying Harrison Ford? It's the same mess most streamers are in, except for Netflix, because they can afford it because they're the king. Meanwhile, YouTube and free stuff still rule the roost. House Democrats investigate Paramount Skydance merger over suspected Trump bribe. So House Democrats are probing the $8 billion Paramount Skydance merger. They say amid allegations, but it's just them making allegations. And they're saying that the July 2025 $16 million settlement with Trump over the election interference 60 Minutes interview with Kamala Harris that covered his legal fees and directed the remainder to the presidential library. And there's an agreement to release future presidential candidate interview transcripts. That constituted an illegal bribe to secure FCC approval. Democrats sent a letter demanding documents, including the full settlement agreement, communication with Trump, the White House, FCC, Trump Organization, plus internal Paramount Skydance correspondence. It's going to scrutinize Brendan Carr's enforcement role, yada, yada, yada. They're trying to find something here. Look, this is just Trump derangement syndrome kicking in again. If the settlement is totally legal, I mean, who cares if Democrats are suspicious? That's how I look at it. Y'all barking up the same tree again, you're going to get nothing. And let's say the settlement was there to butter up Trump. If everything was done on the up and up, screw you. And the reason I say this is how business has been done with other mergers over and over and over. So precedent has been set. And here's the other thing. The average American doesn't give a rip about it. The only one ripping anything is Eric Swalwell. This isn't going to touch anyone's life. But since Trump's, since it's Trump, they're desperate. The Democrats are to invent another scandal. So let's face it. Every wild swing they've taken at them, Democrats, that is, the Russia hoax, the flawless Ukraine phone call. The perfect Ukraine call. Branding J6 is a coup attempt. The face plants from Letitia James and Fannie Willis and all the rest of the garbage. Everything's flopped. Folks have caught on. And this is yet another witch hunt chasing ghosts. Snoop Dogg, blinded by same sex scene in Disney's Pixar's Lightyear. So rap legend Snoop Dogg, he's not happy with Disney and the 2022 film Lightyear. So there was, obviously we all know about the same-sex parenting scene, watching it, the kiss. He's watching it with his grandson. So he's being interviewed. And he questioned how a female character, the kid questioned, how does a female character have a baby with another woman? Snoop Dogg wasn't prepared. He didn't, didn't come in for this, unquote. And now he's hesitant to take these grandkids in a movie. Now, remember, to remind y'all, it depicted a same-sex marriage with a brief kiss, a shared child, and they had pulled that out. But because the tail was wagging the dog and the employees were all upset,
why are you thinking my sexy, my lesbian thing?
A lot of these woke losers, they kept it in. And what happened? It cost Disney. It was a cultural flashpoint. It didn't matter if Chris Evans, who played Buzz Lightyear, he dismissed critics as idiots. But Pixar did tone down similar elements in some of the other stuff. But listen to this. So production cost was $200 million. That's the cost of making the movie. Not counting marketing. Marketing was about $100, $150 million. So we're looking at about $350 million to make the movie. That's the industry standard, $100, $150 million to market it. So you're looking at, again, $300, $350 million. Worldwide box office, $218 million. So the standard break-even formula of 2.5 means it would have needed $500 million to break even. They're saying it lost $100 million. It lost more than that. That's a multiplier, 2.5 time multiplier formula. Now, the alternative break-even, when you include the marketing in there, you're looking at $750 to $875 million it would have needed. Here's the problem. with Democrats and their acolytes, in this case the mainstream media, what they're doing is forcing LGBTQ issues onto parents and usurping their control in raising their kids. Disney's job is to entertain, not indoctrinate or force educate controversial topics. In essence, they're usurping a parent's role. The penalty? The movie made supposedly one-third of what other Toy Story films made. I'd say it probably made less than that. This could have been a blockbuster, but parents found out about the gay storyline and chose not to take their kids. Why? Because there's a time and place for these discussions. But that's the parents' role, not Disney's. They're paying the price. We'll continue to pay the price, and rightfully so. There's a reason the earlier story was they want these young men, these young men and the kids back, males. I don't know if it's going to happen. But Snoop Dogg ain't going to go to a movie that's Disney-related for a while. All right. Macron sues Candace Owens over false claims about wife Brigitte's gender. Now, we all knew this. We all know he's initiated legal action against Owens for promoting what they call a conspiracy theory alleging that his wife Brigitte Macron was born a man. It's a 22-count lawsuit in Delaware seeking a jury trial compensation and punitive damages after Owens ignored repeated retraction requests and profited from their verifiably false anti-devastating lies. She's going to get off because she actually believes this. Our laws are not what they are in France. So the Macrons, they're going to try to bully her. But anyway, the five-year-old French conspiracy is amplified because Candace has 4 million followers. And Brigitte Macron, see, here's the one thing. She's a pedo. But it was illegal. But by all accounts, she's a pedo. When you just look at, I think there's like a 15 age grade. I mean, the kid was like 15 or something when she was like 30. So Macron defended the suit as necessary to protect his honor amid U.S. traction, rejecting free speech hypocrisy claims by referencing Trump admin media bans. Owens escalated the mockery by a post-lawsuit calling it a, quote, goofy, unquote, PR move to silence truth and vowing to battle in court. My take, you can't argue Macron's logic. If he wants to defend his man, his woman, then by all rights he should. I actually applaud him for that, to be quite honest. Whether he can win or not, that's another story. But I can just picture Owens' defense attorney. Brigitte, please drop your pants. The latex glove. And the final story of the night. The Menendez brothers undergo a parole hearing after their sentence reduction. So, for those of you younger, I was a kid at the time, but this was one of the biggest stories in the 80s, 90s. Eric and Lon Menendez, convicted in 1996 for the 89 shotgun murder of their parents, Jose and Kitty. This was in Beverly Hills. Now they're facing parole evaluations. And that went south. That went south. Tapes leaked. So that was a bad scene unto itself. But in May of last year, a L.A. judge resentenced the brothers. And they were eligible under California law as they were under 26 at the time of the crime, despite prosecutors' arguments that they hadn't shown sufficient remorse, which I would agree with based off of everything I've seen with their recent round of interviews. Parole hearings began with Eric's and then Lyle's last week. And I think Eric's was denied the early parole, and Lyle, I guess that was leaked, or Eric's was leaked, or it just went south, and what shouldn't have happened happened. Now, if parole is granted, that has to be reviewed by the chief legal counsel, then the 30-day approval or denial by Governor Gavin Newsom. Here's my take with this nonsense. These two shouldn't see the light of day. Straight up cold-blooded murder. They planned it out. Even though they were over 18, they could have just walked out the door. But they were all about that inheritance cash, and they spent it like drunken sailors with zero remorse. Sure, maybe they've done their time after all these years, but I don't buy it. They deserve the rot because it was calculated, cold-blooded murder. When the cops got there and they walked towards the father's where he had been shot, his brain fell out of his head. Fingers crossed they don't get out early. But it looks like that's off the table for now. But there looks like they're going to eventually get out. But I believe in karma catching up to them eventually. My bottom line take is they should have gotten a fresh trial for a jury to hash it out, not some judge overriding everything, overriding the will of the people. One of my issues is judges in this country are the real problem. They abuse their power. Too many activist judges. And there you have it, my friends. Before we go, I hope you enjoy the show. Make sure you hit thumbs up and you like and share this. Then head on over and bookmark grumbliesmedia.com and follow us on YouTube, Rumble, Apple, Spotify under the profile Grumblies Media. Finally, don't forget to check out our new swag at grumbliesmedia.com. We have shirts, cups, and hats, and you can support our all-volunteer cause. So until next week, this is William Del Pilar for the Red, White, and Rude. Stay safe, and let me know your thoughts in the comments.